Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we unearth slices of history and scenes from his story depicted in Sangam literary work Natrinai 77, written by Kabilar. Set in the mountain country of Kurunji, the poem speaks in the voice of the man to his heart, bidding it to be patient as he tries to win the confidence of the confidant who stands between him and his lady. Malayan ma urndu pohi pulayan perundudi karanga pirappulam bukku avar arum kurumbu erukki aya uyirtha angu uithandru manne nenje செவ்வேர் சினைதொரும் தூங்கும் பயங்கெழு பளவின் சுளையொடு முன்றில் மனையோல் கங்குள் ஒளிவெள் அருவி ஒளியின் துஞ்சும் ஊரலஞ்சேரி சீரூர் வல்லோன் வால் அறம் பொருத கோள்நேர் எல்வளை அகந்தொடி செறித்த முன்கை ஒன்னுதல் திதிலை அல்குள் குருமகள் குவளை உன்கண் மகிழ்மட நோக்கே. A song densely packed with facts and feelings like the payankelu palavu, meaning useful, lush jackfruit, which we shall relish shortly. Interesting to learn that tudi means a drum, as the word's variant tudittal means to beat and is often used to describe the heart beating so. Smile to see the word kurumbu, which is now commonly used as the go-to adjective to describe a child up to pranks many, to mean a fort here. With the few words in Ooralan Cheri Cheerur, the entire layout of this ancient place is laid out before our eyes, for it means not a town but a little village with many colonies. Talk about densely packing concepts of town planning in a piece of poetry. The man has caught a glimpse of the lady he likes. This lady is always surrounded by her playmates, and of the playmates, one is her closest friend, the confidant, whose trust the man must win to get near the lady. The confidant, perhaps to test the man's love, keeps putting him off and seems to give the impression that she is not impressed with him. In such a situation, the man turns to his heart and says, "The leader Malayan, riding on his horse as drummers strike war drums, enters the enemy country and destroys their well-guarded forts, thus making the Chola king he came in support of heave a sigh of relief. O heart, we too have been sent here to seek victory by my lady, who lives in a house surrounded by red-rooted, luxuriant jackfruit trees, whose every branch hangs with that useful fruit, with layers of sweet slices concealed. My lady sleeps in the night, listening to the sound of the resounding white waterfall in her little town with many colonies of people. From one such colony of goldsmiths, an expert has sawed away at the metal and designed a handy bangle which, along with other white bangles, adorns the well-built forearms of my lady. This young girl, who has a luminous forehead and gold-spotted loins, looks at me with her coal-streaked, lily-like eyes. It was a look bubbling with joy and youth, the very look that has brought us here. So bear with it, and you too shall glimpse victory, O heart." With these words, the man intends to calm his heart, insulted by the words of the confidant, and also pointing to the goodness of his lady and her love for him, he bids it to persevere in winning the lady. Let's delve deeper into the poem to reveal what it contains within. First, we get to know the leader Malayan, who is also known as Malayan Thirumudi Kari. He was one of the last seven patrons who ruled the area of Malay Nadu, with the current Tirukkovilur in the Vilupuram district as his capital. His name comes from the black horse he rode into battle and was said to be one with. The great rulers of the Tamil land, the Cheras, Cholas and Pandyas at different times, came to seek his help in defeating another king. It was said whichever king's forces Kari joined, that king was bound to emerge victorious, no matter the number of forts or armies the enemy had. This poem also pays tribute to his victorious streak in a battle where he comes to the aid of another king riding on his black horse and winning the war for that king. The man likens the look of love that his lady gave him to the confidence that Malayan inspires in those who trust him. At the moment, things were not looking great for the man, as the confidant was not relenting to his advances towards the lady, and in turn his heart is also asking why such a great man as himself must bend before the confidant much lower in stature to him. To make his heart realize, the man elaborates the goodness and greatness of the lady, whom he describes as wearing bangles carved for her by expert goldsmiths in a colony of skilled men, and that she has a luminous forehead and eyes streaked with kohl, floating like water lilies. With these words, he tries to convey to the confidant listening that he indeed knows the lady well and that she is one with him already. In the description about the lady to his heart, the man portrays her as one living in a house with jackfruit trees in its backyard. And what a glowing description he endows on the tree. A tree with fruit hanging in all its branches, and the fruit itself so rich and desirable, he says. Recently, there was an article in The Guardian talking about this jackfruit as a fruit that Indians leave to rot on the trees. How much the fruit is loved by the people of the land, not just now but even 2000 years ago, is evident by the glowing words of this poem. Why does the man talk specifically about the jackfruit? Only to tell his heart that the situation they find themselves may be prickly and harsh like the outer skin of the jackfruit, but within lies the sweetness of the lady's love. When we find ourselves disheartened by the obstacles in our path, perhaps we should remember to turn our attention to the sweet slices of the dream that waits to delight us at our journey's end. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and experiencing the beauty and meaning that echoes from these ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts, and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.